can.com.
So we all agree that healthcare needs to be changed, fixed somehow, but not the somehow that is coming down the pike in Washington. It's really Big Pharma. They're the real source of high medical costs. I've talked to so many people who have had procedures done recently, from little mini tweaks to other things, and the medical bills were crazy, outrageous what they were being billed for. I've talked to women who have had to have mammograms done a couple of times where there was this need, not because they really, really feared that something was there, but taking a look again that was charging even more for the mammograms. So part of the problem is the procedures that are done and the costs and the pharmaceutical companies. I mean, they are killing us. So do I want healthcare reform, this current bill, to pass? No. And, you know, let me ask you that. Do you want it to pass? Is it better soon rather than later? Never? No? Yes? Ask again? That's what they say in the eight ball. Everybody's still talking about this. Of course we're talking about it. Because in the end, we're all going to pay for it. Yes, we are. I never thought I would say this. Boy, I totally agreed with Howard Dean, the chairman of the Democratic Party, when he said kill the bill and got a lot of flack from a lot of progressives about it. Specifically, he addressed reasons why. Here's what he said.
Positive things. Over the last week, there were some things that were improved. David mentioned the so-called medical loss ratio, the limits on what insurance companies make. And that was true. That was added to the bill. It was in a form that the CBO wouldn't have allowed, and now it was allowed. It's not all that strong, but it's strong. We can expect some gaining by the insurance companies, but it's there. There were some cost control mechanisms that were gutted. They got restored. So there are some things here, but there are still big loopholes. The major cost control commission that was going to control costs, which had been gutted in the bill as of a week ago, is restored, except that it doesn't apply to hospitals, which, of course, are the biggest drivers of cost controls, of cost increases. So the bill is better than it was, but it's still got a long way to go. I'm going to disagree with David on a number of things. The pre-existing conditions and the aging. The Senate bill says you can charge three times as much for somebody who's older than who's younger. Now the House says twice as much. In Vermont, it's 20% more. It's 1.2 times what an ordinary person pays. That's clearly not there is going to be insurance that's unaffordable. Suppose you make $70,000, $80,000 a year. You could end up paying $20,000 for your insurance under the Senate bill. So there are some big, big problems. Here's the major problem, David. We have committed in this last week of unseemly scrambling for votes. We have committed to go down a path in this country where private insurance will be the way that we achieve universal health care. That means we're going to have a 30-year battle with the insurance industry every time when we try to control costs and try to get them to do things. It is not a coincidence, David Gregory, that insurance company stocks, health insurance company stocks, hit a 52-year high on Friday. So they must know something that the rest of us don't.
Yeah, there you go. They must know something that the rest of us don't know. He makes some valid points in what he's saying there. And like I said, who would think that I would agree with Dean that way? But I think in this case of healthcare reform, it is the most twisted, innocuous piece of legislation that I can't even decipher. That you need a decoder, a special ring, a special translator. I mean, I'm making fun and exaggerating here, but it's the truth. It should be in plain language, it should be easy to understand, and it should not be the pages that it is, and the pages that keep getting replaced. Oh, we need a vote, I'm sorry, what does your state need? Oh, you need a hospital, you need a giant research facility. Sure, we're going to put that in there now. I see that we can erase the, what your fears were with abortion. We'll leave it up to the states. Will that do it for you? I mean, come on. Ridiculous. All right, this story was ridiculous when it happened, but I have to say kudos to the folks in Los Angeles. A California appeals court is saying it's rejected Polanski, Roman Polanski, the director's bid to have his sex case dismissed. It was the circuit, the second district, rather, court of appeals that announced that it's denying the petition. I mean, good for them, because really, honestly, there's been a lot of push from Hollywood on, oh, just let this go. It's not a, you know, it's happened 100 years ago. He's such a good guy. I mean, whatever. He fled to get away from the charges in the first place. Did everybody forget that? If he wasn't a well-known director whose wife, and sadly, was brutally murdered, part of the Manson murder, Sharon Tate, I mean, all that, I get that. But would people have been saying the same things? Of course not. No, they wouldn't have said that. So the justices agreed to reject, there was three of them, agreed to reject Polanski's appeal. And attorneys for the fugitive are arguing, and were arguing earlier this month, that misconduct in the case was grounds for dismissal of a charge of having unlawful sex with a minor. So what the scoop is, he's on house arrest at his Swiss chalet. He was arrested on a fugitive warrant in September. I say too bad. I don't care what he's done. I don't care what the details are, because absolutely, once he fled, he shouldn't have fled. Once he fled, I think they ought to be able to throw the book at him, because anybody else, that's exactly what would happen. People would be screaming up and down, oh, no, just dismissed. No, it's not fair. Mm-mm. Different rules. Different rules. So, like I said, in L.A., they were having, surprisingly, none of it, and that is a very, very good thing. This is also a very good thing. It's the holidays, so that means people are flying to see family. I'm really excited. My mother came in to see me for Christmas and picked her up at the airport. She came off of the plane with one of those American Way magazines, and in the upfront section, they talk about the first drive-in movie theaters, right? And I bring this up because it's great memories for me. The first drive-in movie was in 1933, a stone's throw away from where I grew up in Camden, New Jersey, right? And in 1958, they had about 5,000 around the country. You know how many they have now? They've got 6 drive-ins movies around the country. 6! Can you believe it? How does anybody listening to me, or do you live near a drive-in movie theater? I used to love the drive-in. I mean, as a little kid. As a kid, I remember my grandparents, one of my best memories, taking me to see, and my brother, Jungle Book. Remember Jungle Book? And then I also saw on the big screen Planet of the Apes. And that was in the Poconos. The movie theater I just mentioned that was the first ever opened in the country was the one that is really actually not in Canada, but in Pennsauken. I went to that one with my grandparents. And then there were 6. How times have changed. So who knows where you have to go to see a drive-in movie. Pretty far. If they're in the entire United States, honestly, there's only 6 that are blowing and going. You'd have to be a tourist somewhere or lucky that it happened to be in your backyard. Stay with us. Much more to come on the flip side.
This is an emergency alert. People don't die of H1N1 infection. They die from system-wide intoxication and toxic shock. Doctors call it the cytokine storm following infection and immune hyperstimulation. Vaccines with immune stimulants or toxic drugs chemicalize your body, adding to your death risk. Prevent death and reverse diseases from infections, vaccinations, and drug toxicity. Call this number to get my free special report about the flu and what to do to save lives, maybe even your own. I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. Order Zeolite, the world's most powerful broad-spectrum detoxifier, immune system guard, and vaccine cleanse. Avoid vaccinations and drugs. Use Zeolite and OxySilver Hydrosol instead to detox and de-germ your body. Stop the shock of toxicity and preventable deaths. Call 1-888-KO-GERMS. That's 1-888-KO-GERMS. Or visit zeolife.net and oxysilver.net and order your free report and package special.
Originally, we the people have entrusted government to be the guardians of currency, to ensure purity, content, weights and measures of gold and silver coins citizens would use for commerce. This reinstalled confidence after the demise of the fiat continental system, wisdom being lost with time. The government we once entrusted to protect from counterfeit has colluded with private business, creating the largest fiat counterfeiting scheme our country ever experienced. This is not only a transfer of power to an institution that is not accountable to our elected government, but has also caused the dollar to lose more than 90 cents of its original value. Now foreign governments are trying to divest themselves from this once world reserve currency. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm offering a book that explains how the system works. Call me today at 800-686-2237. I will give you a silver dollar free just for purchasing the book. Call today at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
When the electricity goes out, how will you boil water, cook dinner, light your home, or get news reports? Most families are not prepared for even the shortest power outage due to hurricanes, tornadoes, ice storms, and so on. But you can prepare your family for emergencies and not spend a lot doing it with the amazing products from Carolstove. Carolstove.com is a family preparedness website that has everything you will need in the event of emergency at big discounts. Kerosene stoves, lanterns, emergency radios, water filters, LED flashlights, and even an oven for baking. Carolstove.com is the largest selection of kerosene stoves on the internet. They've even put together two family emergency kits at big discounts that include everything you'll need for the next extended blackout. With carolstove.com's family emergency kits, you'll be able to cook, bake, light your home, make safe drinking water, and hear the news. And you'll be surprised how little you'll spend on Carol Stove's incredible products. For example, our most popular single burner stove starts at only $58. See our complete line of quality stoves and ovens at carolstove.com. That's K-E-R-O-Stove.com. Keep cooking with carolstove.com.
Let's head out to Stu in Kentucky. Hey, Stu. Stu, are you with us? Oh, maybe not. Maybe we missed Stu. Ah, Stu. I'm sorry. I didn't see you there. If you come back, I promise we'll let you slide in on the conversation. All right, so moving on from that, a couple of things that I mentioned, want to give you the payoff on it, including this. I haven't even talked really in depth about this story, but I think it's about time, better late than never, I guess. How many people have been in this position when you've been on the tarmac waiting forever, forever, and forever? And so you've got crying kids and no air in the cabin. Everybody's uptight, and can you blame them? So the Obama administration is saying passengers don't have to take it anymore. It ordered airlines to let people get off planes delayed on the ground after 3 hours, which is great. 3 hours is ridiculous already. But at least, if it, I mean, 3 hours, that's it. I don't care. You got to get them off the plane. Seriously, it's ridiculous. So the airline industry is saying it's going to comply with the regulations. They're going to go into effect in 120 days. But what the airlines are saying, because they're not happy about this, they're saying the result is going to be more canceled flights, more inconvenience for the passengers, because the requirement of planes going to the gate within a three-hour window or face significant fines is inconsistent with completing as many flights as possible, meaning, you know, hey, if we got to turn them around, let's hope it all works out, because we're not responsible after that. So, unfortunately, it seems like a win, but maybe it won't be, because this can be the excuse that the airline industry can just keep going back to. Well, you know, this is how we had to do it. This is the amount of gates we have. This is what happens. Let me just give you an example, though. This year, through October 31, there were 864 flights with taxi out times or what you call flight diversions of 3 hours or more. This is according to the Bureau of Transportation Statistics, right? Using 2007-2008 information, they say there's an average of 1,500 domestic flights a year carrying about 114 passengers, wow, that are delayed more than 3 hours. An average of 1,500 domestic flights. That is a lot of flights. That is a lot of furious people, depending on how many people are on that plane. Last month, of course, Continental Airlines, ExpressJet Airlines, and another one, they were fined $175,000 for that six-hour tarmac delay in Rochester, Minnesota back in August. Continental Express that was going to Minneapolis was diverted to Rochester due to thunderstorms. 47 people had to stay overnight in a plane because the employees refused to open a gate so that they could enter the closed airport terminal. Oh, that's just, that one was one of the more outrageous ones, wasn't it? Homeland Security guru, secretary, whatever you want to call her, Janet Napolitano, saying that the three-hour rule probably won't cause problems for security, just common sense. And here's the thing, airlines would be fined $27,000-plus for each passenger for each violation of the three-hour limit. So that's going to make the airlines not do that at all. That means they start getting anywhere near that mark. They are bolts in. Definitely big time. All right, Sam in Montreal, you have the floor. Hello, Sam.
Hello, lovely lady. How are you?
Hey, when was the last time? Do you remember the last time you've flown? It's probably been a while, hasn't it?
Actually, it was just before I started talking to you. I went to visit Steve, and it was on El Al. You know, the Israeli airline, and they have a reason to be late because, you know, they've got one of the tightest, security of any international airline in the world. So there were a couple of people who were being, I'll put it delicately as I can, strip searched. And they were, you know, because I remember asking a friend of mine who was a lawyer, same thing. And I said, under international law, I mean, they could pick a female, and they'd have to have someone of the same sex, and I went jokingly, oh, darn it. I know I'm going to get letters from women for that. Yeah, but, you know, the first time I said that to Julie, she slapped me on the shoulder and said, no, there's only one person gets to search me. It's you.
Ooh.
Anyway, no, they can search her whole body. They can even search her unmentionables and other stuff, too, just on a whim, like that. You know, if you were carrying a passport that said Kate Delaney, United States, and you were going for a pilgrimage to Israel, okay, that's fine. They still have to ask you a few questions. But if your name was Ahmed and you were carrying a Jordanian passport, they would say, okay, you know, stuff like that.
But I think that's good because it kept the airline safe.
Right, and I'm not going to mention, but there's a certain international airline, I'm not going to mention names, but I have a friend of mine whose wife is a travel agent, and they had Hasidic Jews, a certain sect of Hasidic Jews who don't believe in the state of Israel until the Messiah comes. And they said, they want to go to Jerusalem, but they don't want to fly Al Al. She went, fine. She wanted to be a real not nice person. She flew him on a certain international airline that had the world's worst security. I'm not going to mention it because I don't want to be, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So then they came back and said, the security was terrible. We had a terrible time. We're not going to book through you again. She said, fine. See if I care. Where you just mentioned about flight delays, it seems funny. You and I fly on, you know, whatever public airline, we have to wait. But if it's a certain professional sports team, they have a charter, they get priority, which I don't, and, you know, we could be the first ones in line, but because they're a professional sports team, they get to jump to the head of the line. That I don't like, and I've heard stories about that, just because it was, you know, like I said, a certain hockey team, a certain whatever, baseball team, or, you know, whatever. It's because they're, you know, athletes, excuse me, my
yeah,
money.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I've heard stories about that. Luckily, it hasn't happened. But well, Steve told me a story when he was flying back here to visit his parents. He went. Okay, he's on. He decided to spend a couple of days in England. You know, so he's flying British Airways. So he's flying back, and it was just after Easter. Some people had this attitude. Oh, we're here on a pilgrimage, you know, to celebrate, you know, Christ and whatever. What are they doing on the flight, pointing to Steve and some of his other people? Mm-hmm. So the British Airways people said, excuse me, they're passengers. No, they should get off. And some person boasted that they knew the chairman of the board of British Airways, Lord whatever. So then the flight attendant said, excuse me, Lord whatever. When Steve told me this story, I almost fell off my chair. Steve said, the flight attendant said, excuse me, Lord whatever is no longer head of British Airways. It's Lord so-and-so. And then she went, never mind, went down, just sat down, and kept quiet for the rest of the flight.
That's a good story.
Yeah, notice my Canadians have won two in a row now.
That's huge. Are you getting excited?
Not yet.
It's too early in the season.
Yeah. Okay, just to get on this new healthcare bill that was passed, since I'm a little confused, does this mean whether it's a guy who flips burgers at McDonald's or the head of a Fortune 500 company, everyone's entitled to health insurance?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, no matter what the price, or is it automatic, no matter what it's...
What the price.
Okay, so is it the same... price, or is it what they call floating scale?
Well, I think it's going to be a floating scale because ultimately it's going to be like the gold standard, the silver standard, how much you can afford. That's what's right. going to happen.
Okay. Yeah, but unfortunately, what might happen is you might have, like we have here, almost here in Quebec, a two-tiered structure. Are you going to treat the person who flips burgers, with all the respect, flips burgers and McDonald's for a living, and he's got major cardiac arrest, or the person's the head of a Fortune 500 company, well, all he's got is a broken leg. I mean, they're going to say, well, the person, you know, that's what might happen, wouldn't you
right.
think?
Right, right, yeah, absolutely.
Because unfortunately, in a way, that's not fair. And what doctors are going to ask probably is, okay, who's your healthcare provider? Would some doctors say, excuse me, I don't trust that provider, get out? Do you think that's what might happen?
Well, you wonder, Sam. You bring up a good point. As yep. you speak from experience, is there a chance that could happen? And I think you're going to see a revolt from the doctors. So very astute from you to point that out. I was mentioning earlier things that we had heard from different doctors. Thanks for the call, Slammin' Sammy. And oh, thanks for the t-shirt, by the way. I got that championship Alouette t-shirt. Thank you. Unnecessary, but I love it. Stay with us, everyone.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Don't ignore your prostate health. See your doctor for checkups and call for a free bottle of Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate is a natural supplement that helps your body support prostate health. Your prostate affects the quality of your life, including your sleeping habits and intimacy. Beta Prostate has plant sterols shown to support healthy urine flow and healthy sleeping habits. And Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules to get the same plant sterols found in one Beta Prostate. New customers can get a free bottle of Beta Prostate. You only pay shipping and handling. To get your free bottle of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-257-7201. That's 1-800-257-7201. This offer is for one free bottle per household. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-257-7201. That's 1-800-257-7201.
America is in deep, deep trouble because we don't know our rights. Let's get real freedom back into America by teaching and promoting the Bill of Rights with the 2010 Freedom Calendar. Why? Because our forefathers gave them to us. Because the Freedom Calendar is true patriotism in action. And because if you don't know your rights and use them, you may lose them. The Freedom Calendar is the best educational tool in over 200 years. It shows in detail how to use your rights, how to answer any bureaucrat, how to use your guaranteed rights for true freedom. The Freedom Calendar is the easy way to learn the proper use and function of each of our rights and is perfect for homeschoolers, business promotions, and fundraisers. Order your Freedom Calendar now for just $15, and discounts are available for bulk orders. Call 651-771-5234. Again, 651-771-5234. The Freedom Calendar. Know your rights or lose them. Order now while supplies last. Call 651-771-5234 today.
Did you have
Hi, this is Steve Shank. Alex and I have talked about food security for your family for years.
Now did you have any Aquadinidrog stuff? You know, she interviewed
him. The time of year when friends and family come together, and food is always the expression of our shared love and caring. This year, the eFoods Holiday Special Food Supply has the two things that you've asked for.
Oh, no, no, that's good, because I give her credit anyway, so that's fine.
That taste great.
So no worries, I'm going to throw to that.
For greater affordability.
I'm going to mention that she, you know, is on the air, and I'm going to throw to that.
The loss of freedoms that we only anticipated in 2008 have arrived in our lives with a vengeance. This holiday special is designed to bring peace and security to you and yours, and comes with a free 7-day responder for you to give to someone less fortunate. Call 800-409-5633 or on the web efoodsdirect.com. That's 800-409-5633. We here at eFoods Direct wish you peace, security, and plenty this holiday season.
Taking a look back at 2009, we'll continue to do that through our next couple of shows and mention some of the highs and lows of 2009. A quick reminder, we do have Nail the Score coming up on our next show. Don't forget, because I know it's the holidays, a lot of people will skedaddle, but maybe that's more openings for some of you that will be listening. And you don't have to know anything about football. We simply randomly pick the game of the week with our giant computer. You tell us who you think is going to win and what you think the final outcome of the game will be. Maybe you win the prize pack. You never know. Andrew Zellner, who is not a sports fan, who was filling in for Matt Johnson when he was doing the technicals and decided that he was going to go off with his buddies to the desert. It was his birthday, and he was taking a little break. And so Andrew was filling in, and he nailed the score, and that was shocking because I've never had anyone in the history of the show nail the score. I mean, hats off, but he's not eligible for the prizes. You are, so I hope that one of you are able to do that. And like I said, again, that's coming up on our next show. Speaking of new shows and next shows, it's a future of a lot of shows in store for Diane Sawyer. Boy, she's had an interesting career doing the, I think she started out actually as a weather person. Then she was a speechwriter for Nixon. And some things in between, 60 Minutes, of course, also Good Morning America, and now she leaps to the evening news. So what's interesting is you have Katie Couric on one channel on CBS, and you have Diane Sawyer now on ABC, and you have, of course, Brian Williams in the middle on NBC, which is the highest rated of all of them. The ABC is right on the heels, however, of NBC. For whatever audience is left, because it's not a huge audience compared to what it once was, they still want to fight for those viewers. I mean, those dollars and the audience. Will it stay in that position? Is there a chance that Diane Sawyer overtakes Brian Williams? Can you imagine? Well, she started off in a good direction. I think she's very much a person who is a conversationalist, and maybe a little bit of that style. And they're not doing too much to world news, which is good, because I think a complete overhaul would be a huge mistake. That's what they tried to do with Katie Couric and CBS, and it just didn't wash for, like I said, whatever audience there is left that watch those shows. I think the time is brutal, and plus it's just not where the youth is going. It's not the current movement, which is going to be viral, and it already is viral for so many people. So on the first show, the debut show, Diane Sawyer, kudos to her in this sense, she did an interview with Ahmadinejad, which frankly, when he talks to American journalists, it's all, hiya, how are ya, I try to work with America, I don't understand. But I thought the interview was pretty good, and specifically she asked him some things about the hikers, those hikers that ventured in accidentally to Iran. Here's what he said about that and a little bit of a slice of Ahmadinejad.
Yes, but I've got a question to you. How do you know they have accidentally crossed into Iran? How do you know they were looking for waterfalls?
Do you have evidence that it was not accidental? Young people on a hike, on a vacation?
Who has told you this? Are you a judge? Permit me.
By all examinations.
Have the intelligence agents told you that?
They will go on trial?
I'm not the judge to judge about it.
Yeah. I'm not a judge to judge about it. Yeah, again, it's the sidestepping thing. Hey, she did ask him the questions, and that whole thing with the hikers is very weird anyway. How are you? Here's what I would say. Be careful where you venture. We have seen what has happened to others in the past when you completely leap and push the bounds of that envelope. You know, in mentioning 2009 and changes and, you know, Sawyer taking over the desk, that's a big thing. Like I said, you have two women now and one guy. Jay Leno making a move from his late night show to an earlier television slot in prime time. It remains to be seen whether or not this cost cutting, because it is cost cutting move, and the whole product placement deal, if this was a thumbs up or thumbs down, really, for the network. The people who work on television shows, ensembles, etc., they can't be comfortable with this idea, because if Jay Leno was super, super popular, others would think, well, let's just move our shows, too, and we'll save money because we won't have to fill that 1 hour. We can, and then we'll put on another person after Jay Leno or whoever, which is what they do. And they would save a ton of money. So, like I said, it remains to be seen as to whether or not this innovative thing was a smart move, but it was a big story of 2009. Also mentioned by Saul Albaum in the very beginning of our show, and if you missed him, he'll be back again in our last hour, but the Michael Jackson overkill, the sudden death of one of probably the greatest entertainers that ever lived, whose music lives on and on and on, but the constant non-stop, as somebody wrote in something I was reading the other day, the Larry King show and all those other shows where it was just one crazy angle, boring story after another. Not, you know, I get covering the story, but then it was, wow, we're going to just keep driving. We're going to ride this gravy train as far as it will take us, as far as we can go. Now, I get the Tiger Woods gravy train because it's like a crazy gravy train, and there's just too much meat that's being thrown out there for people still as we speak. But the Michael Jackson deal, I mean, again, with the Joe Jackson and the kids and the doctors and who said this and who did that, I couldn't watch it anymore. I couldn't watch when I was just flipping around, getting some news, seeing what the mainstream guys were saying, what was happening on the tube. Man, I couldn't take it. For the first time in a long time, I just said, wow, I get hitting on it, absolutely, but the angles were crazy angles. Crazy. And that train has definitely not completely left the station either. It hasn't. There's more to come. Trust me. The Jacksons are far from over. Over in the sense that they're not going to be around talking about his music or coming up with their own music or whatever. All right. The East Coast, by the way, just got itself out of the snow, so to speak, because there still is a lot of snow on the ground there. So while the East is digging out, check this out from that nor'easter. I mean, thousands of people stranded. Monday was just a crazy day. Now they're saying on Wednesday and Thursday, which would be Christmas Eve, right, that bad weather could pose problems for travelers in Chicago especially. They could have freezing rain, would delay lots of flights, and it would possibly have the biggest impact at the largest airport there, Chicago O'Hare. Also, because of the weather in Minnesota, Minneapolis, St. Paul, they're worried about the system as well. And what it is you might have that cold air and ice from Wisconsin to St. Louis and possibly even snow in Texas on Wednesday and Thursday. They're saying, great. So we've got weather rolling in, folks. I'm not flying anywhere. I hope all of you are safely wherever you're going to be and you don't have to fly anywhere, because that's where it's, you know, that's where it gets dicey as to whether the luggage is going to be on the other side or not. Also, people picking you up and the carousels with the baggage claims. I mean, it's just, you know, it's this time of year. But add in some snow delays or weather delays, and, you know, I never understood this until you start to complain and you ask somebody. But it's like when you're waiting for the plane, it's delayed, it's delayed, it's delayed, and you think, are you kidding? Look at the weather. I'm looking outside the window. What are they talking about? Delay, delay, delay. Because you're not the first flight out. If you're the first flight out, all bets are off if the weather's nice where you are, for the most part, right? Unless it's not nice on the other end. But when you're the third or fourth flight out and you're waiting for a plane, oh, it could be grueling, like a marathon wait. Because it depends on, hey, we got stuck at this gate, then there was a problem here, a part thing, we thought, whatever. I mean, the tales that come before you actually get on that plane, sometimes you would be surprised. I know I have been when I sat in a terminal for a while and wondered, well, what's going on? What's happening at that other airport? I'm checking the Weather Channel, desperate to find any kind of information, and so that's what it's about. So in Chicago, certainly brace for that, you know, no doubt. Hey, when we come back on the flip side, we're going to take you around the world. What's happening off the shores? What's happening as a result of Copenhagen, for example? Also, what's going on with our troops in Afghanistan and in Iraq? A strange story about these court martials for pregnancy for U.S. troops in Iraq. Got the skinny on that. That's coming up in 2 and 2.
Yeah, I'm ready. Okay, yeah. Stop that. Oh, wait. Kid, you're killing me. Okay. They want me to dress up like Santa. My thoughts? What's this gonna prove? They want to remind you about the holiday special. So here it is. Buy a month's supply of Life Change Tea and get 2 extra weeks free. Get some free tea in the holiday spree. Oh my goodness. Lose weight and don't become the size of Santa. Oh, who wrote this? Buy 1 month, get 2 weeks free. That's the best sale of the year. So go to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. Come on, new people. 928-308-0408. And all of you that have ordered the tea, thank you for this year. We love you. You guys. Yeah, we know. You love us too.
Hello. At OfTheField.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on OfTheField.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
It's inspiring for many who are affected by the recent downturn of the economy.
I already knew a bit about foraging and edibles, but you take it to a whole new level.
A thousand thanks to you for all that great knowledge. It was empowering.
When I was in the Navy, I went through a couple of quick land survival classes.
Thank you for being an inspiration and for all the work that you do.
I really appreciate the depth and detail of the information.
Thank you so much.
Much love and respect to you from all of us here in the boonies.
Thanks again.
Knowledge is power, and that power brings peace.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at ofthefield.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
Now, don't just walk away, pretending everything's okay, and you don't care about me.
Hey, coming up on our next show, besides the fact in the third hour we've got Nail the Score, we also are going to talk about global warming. Is it a man-made disaster or a natural process? Is it doing us more good than harm? Cal Biesner is going to stop by from the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation is the actual group. But it's, you know, it's not a lot of hyperbole. Actually, Cal cuts through all the nonsense. And we've had him on before, but here's the key of when why he's coming on. He is just fresh off of coming back from Copenhagen. In fact, he was going to come on tonight, but he was just exhausted. So he's coming on from all the traveling and all the gazillion meetings and everything else. So he's coming on, our next show. So Cal Biesner, he'll be on to tell us what happened in Copenhagen, what that was like. And then also we've got Nail the Score, and we're starting to continue to weave in those 2009 top stories, what you thought some of the top stories were. I was mentioning a few of them during, you know, Pepper throughout the show, the economy. I think, hey, number one, number two. That's, everybody was talking about the economy more than my entire life. I've never heard people talk about money so much in the sense of lack of it, worried about it, concerned about health, various issues, but all coming back to, you know, my theory, follow the money in everything we do, right? Michael Jackson obviously was a huge story. There were a lot of celebrity deaths. Farrah Fawcett, that was another one. Also, Natasha Richardson, don't forget the strange, sad story about Natasha Richardson and the skiing accident that she had, the freak fall that led to her suddenly dying. And she was on a bunny hill and didn't have a helmet on. And then there were other things that happened in the entertainment industry and business, certainly, in politics, the scandals in politics that kind of got shoved aside when the Tiger Woods thing just happened right around Thanksgiving. But in politics, the governor, I think, of South Carolina might take the cake. Or you could say John Edwards, too, for all the details that came out about the baby, the woman he had the affair with, when he had the affair, did he pay her money because she was the videographer, blah, blah, blah. There was that story. There was Senator Ensign's story. And, again, the governor of South Carolina's story. There certainly were plenty of bad boys, let's say, that we could throw into that file. All right, so one of the things that I found interesting, if we kind of go abroad yet stay at home, talking about soldiers, is this story. There's a new order from the guy in charge, the general, in other words, in northern Iraq that makes getting pregnant or impregnating a fellow soldier an offense punishable by court-martial. Check this out. It's a directive that's part of a bigger order restricting the behavior of how many soldiers? 22,000, because people forget that under the major general who's in charge there, Kukulo's command, that's his name, and it's meant to prevent soldiers dropping out when troop strength is so thin, because we're withdrawing troops, as you know, and have been since June. So what he's telling the forces is, anyone who leaves the fight earlier than expected in the 12-month deployment, it creates a huge burden on the team, on any of the teammates. So if you leave it early because you made a choice that changed the medical status, their medical status, or contributed to doing that to another, which that's interesting, isn't keeping the element of what we do. And this rule, the rule enacted November 4th, was first reported by a military publication. I didn't even see it. I've read this, Stars and Stripes. And this is how it is. It says it prohibits becoming non-deployable for reasons within the control of the soldier, including becoming pregnant or impregnating a soldier, resulting in the redeployment of the pregnant soldier. So it's all military and civilians serving under this major general in northern Iraq. And we're talking about Balad, Tikrit, these are all the places, Mosul, these are all the places that he's in charge of. And under the major's command, there are over 1,600 women. And I guess it's up to him. He's going to decide what cases are going to be pursued. And that he's saying, I'm the only one who passes judgment on the cases, you know, period. I'm responsible and accountable for the fighting ability of the outfit. So I made an existing policy a little bit stricter. He says it's part of a general policy on behavior and actions. And he has a whole long, you know, memo that he outlined. And, you know, he said the purpose of the rule is mostly to have a chilling effect on behavior, but he doesn't think he'll ever have to fully prosecute it, or it would be. But it appears to be legal, and it's not without precedent. And I didn't realize this. During the Vietnam War, a female troop would be discharged for getting pregnant, and that rule was challenged, but the government didn't want to defend it at the time, so they can do it. And you have to think about this. If it did become an epidemic, what a disaster. What a disaster that would be. He's right, because who's going to get in there and fight? But you know, I mean, they have to know. They have to have read these articles. But what some people will say, and I guess this is the thing, is the military trying to control women's rights to have a family. And, you know, here's the thing. I think it's not about that. I don't think, you know, I think if you're in a war zone, that's a whole different thing. Certainly in a war zone, that's not the place to start a family. That's disastrous in itself. And the major general is taking some heat for this decision. And the whole idea that you could be court-martialed as a result. So let's see if he gets the backing of the administration. That's what I'm curious about. That, you know, that nothing's really come out of this. So, I mean, yeah, hey, is it reasonable to ask that of the troops that are serving? Is it reasonable to say, you can't do this to me? I don't think they're not saying that if, you know, you're a woman, you're serving, and then you're out, you're done your 12 months. That's a different story. But I think in this case, if you're talking about in the moment, in the heat of battle, I don't know that I think that's, you know, I don't think that's trying to control someone's reproduction. Really, honestly, I don't. All right, at the top of the show, I mentioned this thing about movie theaters. And I did get a couple of emails from you. I'm going to rip through those quickly. Gail sends me this note saying, Kate, I laughed out loud when you said you went to see Jungle Book when you were a kid at the drive-in movies. I saw a bunch of movies at the drive-ins, but they were not of the caliber of Jungle Book. In fact, I saw Clute at the drive-in theaters, and you're right, they used to be everywhere back in the day, and now I can't believe you said what? How many are there? Yep, just to my knowledge, just 6 drive-in movie theaters. Hey, Donovan, have you ever seen a movie in the drive-in? When you were a kid, did anybody ever take you to one, or a teenager, did you ever see one that way?
Oh, yeah. And, in fact, I think we have one of the 6 or so remaining drive-in theaters not too far from Minneapolis here.
It's, I don't know. I still think it's kind of cool, don't you? I mean, I like it. I like the idea you drive up, you're on that crazy little hill trying to hook in the crappy little speaker.
It's definitely an interesting experience.
It is. It's an interesting experience. And it's just different to see it out of the window of your car than it is in the comfort of a theater, I guess. I don't know. I think it's something retro. And I hope that everybody listening to me at least one time in their life had a chance to go see a drive-in movie. See, mine are related not as an adult, though, because I can't remember going to see, and I bet you I did, but I can't remember seeing very many as an adult. But Planet of the Apes, that was a big memory for me, too, because I had an aunt and an uncle in the Pocono Mountains. We were vacationing, and they took us to see it. And seeing Planet of the Apes when you're a kid, and I mean you're a real little kid, and you're seeing that sitting there in a car, and it's pitch dark in the mountains, there is something about that, let me tell you. All right, like I'm fond of saying on this show, remember, it's about creating the memories. We still live in the greatest country on the face of the earth, so let's keep fighting for it. Remember, lean over off that horse as you're going round and round, and don't forget to keep trying to grab that brass ring.
Boy, that was a keen idea!